Welcome to Lessons from Leaders, conversations with direct sales experts. I'm Beth Joan Shaw, founder and president of Spirit of Success Incorporated. Our goal at Spirit of Success is to provide you with fresh, relevant topics to support your direct sales career. Today, I am thrilled to have three top direct sales leaders with me to share their advice on our topic for today, on the move, relocating with your direct sales business. You know, summertime is the number one most popular time of year for families to relocate, and oftentimes many cities or states away. So this is a very timely topic as we are recording here in the month of June. But no matter when you may be listening in to this podcast, this is a very timely topic. You know, these three leaders today are exactly the experts you want to hear from because their advice comes from their personal, real-life, boots-on-the-ground experiences with relocating to a new area while working their direct sales businesses. And I am excited for you to learn from their experiences. So, as you're listening, be prepared to take notes and then take action on all that you will hear. So let me begin by introducing you to our three direct sales experts. First, let me introduce you to Jen Goodrich. Jen is a director with Become Beauty. She has been with Become Beauty for 5.5 years. Jen has a team of 85 advisors in her downline, and she has earned the top sponsoring and top sales awards each year of her career. Jen is a wife to her sweet husband, Jerry, and they have three young boys, 10, 8, and 4, who keep Jen very busy at the ball fields, whatever the sports season happens to be. Jen moved with her business from South Florida, the Lee County area, to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where she and her family currently live. So, Jen, welcome to our conversation.
Thank you so much, Beth, for including me on this call, and I can't wait to share some great tips.
Well, we can't wait to hear from you. Thanks so much, Jen. Our next direct sales expert is Donna Marone. Donna is a Gold Executive Director with Premier Designs Jewelry. Donna has been with Premier Designs for 13 years. She has 550 team members in her lineage, including 80 team leaders in her downline team. Donna has received numerous awards for outstanding achievements in Premier Designs over the years, including that of number one in retail sales and number one in sponsoring in the company. As well, Donna promoted rapidly and consistently through the leadership ranks throughout her 13 years and even in the midst of a relocation from Canton, Ohio, my hometown, by the way, to Chicago, Illinois, where she currently resides. Donna is a mom to two beautiful daughters, Michaela, who is 20 and attends Miami University in Ohio, and Mackenzie, who is 17 and will be a senior in high school this coming year. So, Donna, welcome to our conversation.
Thanks, Beth. I'm honored that you would ask me.
Thanks, Donna, for being here. And our third direct sales expert is Susan Giebler. Susan is a senior regional vice president with PartyLite. Susan has been with PartyLite for 21 years, and she started out as a hostess with PartyLite and then became a consultant. And Susan promoted to senior regional vice president, the highest top title, in just 2.5 years into her career. Susan has 30 central region leaders on her team and 570 consultants all over the U.S. Susan was selected from her peers of regional vice presidents for the Positive Influence Award, a very prestigious award with PartyLite. And she has top 10 PartyLite USA income earner, has been the top 10 PartyLite USA income earner for 19 years. Susan's lineage sales top $5 million, and that has earned her Crown Club Member Award, which is the top senior regional vice president award for total lineage achievements. Susan moved with her business from Stillwater, Minnesota, to southern Indiana, where she now resides on a 14-acre hobby farm. I just love that, hobby farm, with Jim and their Welsh Corgi dog. Susan has two great kids, her son TJ, who is 17 years old. PartyLite, Susan says, helps keep him in basketball shoes and golf balls, by the way. And Susan's grown daughter, Diana, who just joined her mom's team as a PartyLite consultant. How fun is that? So, Susan, welcome to our conversation.
Thanks, Beth. I'm excited to share today.
Well, thanks so much for being with us as well. You know, according to the American Moving and Storage Association, the summer months are the most popular months to move, with June remaining as the number one most popular month for relocations. Some 13.3% of all moves take place during the month of June. So as we are recording this podcast, we sit here in the midst of this most popular time of year for relocations. And if you are listening into this podcast, chances are pretty good you have relocated or are about to relocate with your direct sales business. I personally can understand and empathize because I have relocated with my business three times to three different states throughout my direct sales career. And our experts today have many relocations to their credits, and I am so excited for you to learn from their experiences. But this one caveat as you're listening. As always, the ideas that you're going to hear today on this podcast are generic in nature. So please, please be sure to check with your individual company's policies and procedures prior to implementing anything that you hear in our conversation today to be certain that you are in compliance with your company's policies. So with that said, to kick off our conversation today on how to successfully relocate with your direct sales business, let's first go to Jen Goodrich. Now, Jen, you relocated with your business from South Florida to Pittsburgh, PA. So what are two or three lessons that you learned that helped you to make a smooth transition at that time and kind of start your business over in a new area?
So, yeah, thank you so much, Beth. One of the first things that I did at the time, I had a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and one on the way. Mm-hmm. So I immediately had to get busy with schools and sports and things like that. And so that was something right off the bat. I knew I had to utilize my kids' connections. So I got involved. I found a mom's club. Of course, I had no family here, and I didn't even have any friends. So I had to get work. I had to get to work fast because I needed some friends. So I did have my sister-in-law, but you know, sometimes you need to expand beyond the family. So that was my immediate goal, was to get involved with the mom's club. I did join. I joined a junior women's league. Of course, we looked for a church. And then sports. So that really, really for sure helped me with meeting other moms and moms that are like you too. So that was really, really important for me, was getting involved with as many activities as I could.
You mentioned junior women's. Yeah, you mentioned junior women's league, and I know that you're also a really faithful networker. And how did that help as you were feeling as though you needed to meet some friends and get things going?
Yeah. So owning your own business, you know. Joining a mom's club, some of those moms don't own their own businesses. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have a professional side to my connections, you know. So right. I looked for a networking group, and I ended up joining BNI, and I still belong to it to this day, 4 years later, almost 5 years later. And so I joined BNI, and it was really great timing because I needed to find people that I recommend, that I, you know, would refer mm-hmm. business to, but people that I needed to use anyways, you know, an AC guy and a carpet cleaner, I needed those services anyways. So it was great for me to be able to try them out and to be able to refer them. And likewise, they refer business back to me. So,
exactly.
I mean, I can tell you it's been phenomenal for my business, and I just form relationships, and you know, I've made friends. So it's been,
well, and
it's
tell
really
people
great.
Who are listening who maybe don't know what BNI is, explain that to them.
Yeah, so BNI is Business Networking International. It's one of the largest referral organizations. It's not mm-hmm. just leads; it's actual referrals that you are given and that you give. It operates on giver's gain. So you give and then you receive. So, and that's the way I like to do business anyways. So it was really a perfect fit for me. There are other referral networks out there. There's WBN, Women in Business Network, and that's a really great one as well. And then there are, you know, your chambers, you know, there's other local groups that you can check into. But if you just go to www.bni.com, you can look for a local chapter and you can visit. You can just check it out if you want to.
That's right. Jen was very helpful, and I will give you props, my friend. And when I moved here to Pittsburgh, Jen was already here, and so she was very helpful to point me in the direction of business networking groups, and I joined BNI, and I also joined WBN. So that was very helpful to me when I was relocating just a year ago here. Now, I know you also did some exposure events. Tell a little bit about those.
So I think it's really important when you move to a new area to do those exposure events because I firmly believe, I mean, I do all my shopping with direct sales. You know, we all help out each other. So I knew I needed those connections up here anyways. So I searched for local exposure events. And, you know, your first year you live in an area, you're going to learn, like, you know, there's good ones and there's not so good ones, mm-hmm. but you've got to do them. And then what I did is I networked with the other vendors. That was really one of my sole purposes of doing them was to network with the other vendors and find out which ones are good, which ones aren't so good. So they had already done the legwork for me. So that's really what I did. And now to this day, you know, I do the ones I know that I want to support or that have done well for me in the past. So I really recommend doing 1 to 2 of those a month just to really expand your network base with the other direct sellers in the area.
Well, that's a good point to make, that if it's not maybe such a great event, because you never know going in when you're brand new, you know, you can do a little bit of question asking of the, you know, coordinator of the events and such, but you definitely can network with those who are other vendors. And, of course, as, you know, as you're pointing to when you're new to an area, you know, and you do a vendor event, it's not about sales. It really is about getting those new contacts and getting those new leads. And, Jen, I'm sure you found that as your focus as well.
Oh, exactly. And I love how you word them exposure events, and that's what I really train my team on is, you know, don't go in there with, you know, the idea that you're going to, you know, make millions because it's making connections, which
that's
will
right.
make you millions. So
that's exactly right.
Exposure.
So your best advice to people in these areas is to join and get active. And if you do have kids, because you had kids and one on the way as you were relocating with your business, is just to use the connections that you have and keep making new connections.
Exactly. Yep.
So great advice, Jen. Good way to kick us off. I know the listeners are writing fast and furiously in those areas. And, you know, what's interesting is even if you're not relocating, you know, such great ideas that Jen just shared with us just to kind of restart your business even if you're where you are but just need a fresh start. So thanks, Jen, for those ideas. So, Donna, let me toss it to you. You relocated with your business from Canton, Ohio, which I mentioned, I think, once or twice as my hometown, to Chicago, Illinois. I know that at that point, Donna, you had been selling for about 4 years, so you had a pretty good established business. So what did you do to restart your business in Chicago where you knew no one while still juggling a business and a team back in Ohio? How did that work as you're restarting your business?
Well, I remember when I first heard that we were moving to Chicago. Actually, we were moving to Chicago. I didn't really even know the state Chicago was in. It was one of those I states that's over in the middle of the country somewhere. And I have lived in a lot of states. I was in New York, D.C., Pennsylvania, all East Coast and Texas. But I knew that the middle of the country was there, just never really took a look at it. I cried when I got the news because I was devastated. I had a booming business. I was doing about 89 jewelry shows a year. I had 185 people. I had 10 leaders on my team, which qualified me for a senior leadership position with our company, which is, you know, that was a huge goal of mine. So when I got the phone call that my then husband was taking a job in Chicago, I was on the floor in my guest bathroom so my children couldn't see, in a ball, crying my eyes out, calling the prayer hotline for our company. It was devastating. I always say, God has a plan for you. You just don't know what it is. I was devastated, and I was afraid. I was just full of fear. And I talked a lot, and I'm not really that great with keeping secrets, but I didn't tell a soul we were moving. I didn't even tell my kids. I didn't want anybody to know. I was so afraid. But God always has you right there when you don't even think he's looking, when you don't even think you matter, when you're so insignificant. And I was scared. And I ended up telling my team a month later, for me that was record history, that I was moving, and they all thought I had cancer because I had a very big announcement. So then when I moved over here, the first thing I did, and this is I asked everybody if they knew somebody that lived in the Chicagoland area. Like, this is before, this is in 2004. Social networking wasn't even in existence, I don't think.
Sure.
But I just ask everybody, do you know anybody that lives in the Chicagoland area? I'm looking for friends. I'm looking for relationships. As we all know, this whole business that we're in, direct sales, is built 100% on relationships. Mm. Nothing more, nothing less. It's a relationship-driven business. I asked everybody. I wanted to have a friend. Everybody wants to feel like they belong. Everybody wants to feel like they're significant, that they matter. I asked everybody, and people were like, oh, yes. Well, one of my good friends, she actually was in our company, but not on my team, but she had a friend that lived here, and she ended up becoming my best friend when I moved here and my assistant when I moved here. She did a show for me. So everybody that I've met, I asked if they had a friend who would help me out, and that did get me some shows on my calendar. But it also put me in a place where I could build a relationship with those people. So ask everybody you know who they know that lives there, because you know that 6 degrees of separation, there's a lot to be said for that.
And that's a good idea. That is a great idea, by the way. Not just good, but a great idea, that before you even go to the new place, you start asking people where you currently are, who do you know? Such a great phrase that needs to roll off our tongues constantly, Donna, and I love that reminder of it. I know that you had mentioned to me that when you moved, not only were you the who do you know person before you got there, but you really focused on filling your calendar with shows first. Can you speak a bit to that?
Right. Well, when I got here, I had 2 shows on my calendar because I wanted to step back from that first. This is a business. This is what I do for a living. I take it very seriously. So when I was relocating here, of course, we worked with a realtor. We also worked with a mortgage broker and whatnot. And I was very insistent on the fact that I choose the realtor and I choose the mortgage broker because I wanted them to be women. And I said, this is my business. This is what I do for a living. I know real estate is what you do for a living. If we go ahead and use you and purchase a home from you, would you be willing to host an event for me? And they all said yes very quickly because I would have not used them. I mean, this is what I do for a business. If you're going to help me, I'm going to help you. Let's face it, realtors are a dime a dozen. There's a million of them out there. Mm-hmm. We were for sure buying a house. It was a for sure thing. So that was instant income into their. So that was another show I had. Then, ironically, the mortgage broker, of course, she had to be female in my eyes. I would not work with a man. And I asked her, and she said yes. Well, then my husband found a mortgage broker that did that had a better rate. So we didn't even use her, and she still did a show for me anyway, just because I had built that relationship with her, and I felt horrible about it. Okay. So don't think about those. These are big chances for you to really utilize the people that you are going to have to be working with. This is your business. If you don't take it seriously, nobody else is going to take it serious either. Just like she said, the people that you bring into your home, I really focused. I wanted to work with women because that's who I knew I could build the relationships with. Mm. So you just have to make that an active focus when you're relocating.
I was going to say, mentioned about how important it was for you because you moved when you had experience, you know, four years in your business, and you said you had to get yourself mentally back to the basics. How important was that for you in making that transition?
Well, when I had moved to Ohio, we had relocated there from Washington, D.C. I had only lived there 1 year. When I started my business in Ohio, I had a very limited relationships, but my Bunko group is what really got my business launched. And I have to be truthful. Those networking groups, those groups that you're in, I mean, you have to participate in them on a social level. I mean, women need women. The Bunko group is really essentially launched my business, and I was fearful, just as any new person is, that people wouldn't like my product, that they wouldn't take me seriously. And I did get some of that. Don't get me wrong, but you can't focus on that. You have to focus on what you know is true in your heart. And I really was very positive, and I think your mentality through this whole relocation is the number one determining success point. It's all in your mind. Whatever you think is true is true. Mm. So you have to think of this as a challenge. You have to think of this as a growth, for your, like a human growth experience, because you're going to be out of your box and you're going to do things you didn't really ever do before, especially if this is your first relocation. I had done many relocations, so I had a lot of experience with relocating. My ex-husband was with the FBI. Okay, so when I got here, this is what I determined that I need, in order to be successful in a direct sale business, we are a home show business, a jewelry show business. That's what we do. And in order to believe in the business, you've got to have shows on your calendar. So I really did focus my first year here on getting shows on my calendar. And when you whatever you focus on, you become a magnet for. My focus was getting shows, building relationships. I wasn't trying to sponsor. I was just trying to build my business, get my kids situated, get my home situated, and just get that sense of routine for my family. Because let's face it, our most important job in our lives is being a mother. And that was my focus. My children were at that point in third grade and in sixth grade. So it was a very fragile time for both of them. But anyway, when I got here, I started with one show, and fortunately, people scheduled shows from that show, and I ended up doing 60 shows my first year here. So if you have 60 shows, that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good business if you're doing that in a year. And so once I became, in my mind, I believed that I could do the shows here and I could find my way around, because as you know, Chicago is a very overwhelming city when you're coming from Canton, Ohio. Anyway, I felt a little more secure, and then I went to our rally, which was in July, and I remember coming back from the rally, and I said, okay, my focus is now on sponsoring. I'm going to sponsor one person every single month for the next year, and guess what? I did it for 2 years because I said I was going to. You see, a goal without a deadline is a dream. And every month you have a deadline. It's called 30th or the 31st, whatever. I had to sponsor. I was doing my shows, and if I'm doing shows, I know I can sponsor. So you have to set goals when they are appropriate. But you have to be a little intuitive. You've got to decide what you think you need in your personal business. Now, as far as working with my team when I was back in Ohio, I mean, that was a big, big part of my life because those were my best friends. And I was talking to them constantly on the phone. I was always on the phone. If I'm in the car, I was on the phone. And I wasn't talking to my girlfriends. It was talking, well, they are my girlfriends, but they were also in business with me. So I really became, I was very in tune with their businesses. And I think that's critical if you have a team in another area, is just talk to them constantly, because you're going to have to support and encourage them. We all need support. We all need encouraged. We all want to be appreciated. And I think that's probably something that people tend to lose sight of, especially in the mode of with social media. They think they can do it all through social media, and you can to an extent, but that personal phone call, that personal voice, they can hear your intonations, and they can know that you really do care through a phone call. And sometimes people just think that when you're doing it on social media, it's just kind of blank. So I think people need to be very careful of how they use social media in this business. But I went back there every quarter, at least once a quarter. I was back there. I was training every single month. I mean, that was where my income was coming from for the most part at that point in my business. And so I made that commitment of the expense. And yes, I didn't have a single family member here. I had no one, and my husband was working 13, 14 hours a day, and my children were small, but I still went back. I always tell people, you get into this business. So many of us get into this business because we want to be home with our children. And that's a choice we make. That is not everybody's dream. That's your dream. If that's your dream, it's your dream. People get into the business to be home with their children and still be able to, make some income, but they use their children as an excuse for why they can't work their business. So you have to be very careful to make sure if this really is a business, you really do take it seriously, that you are not using the very thing that you came into the business for as an excuse for why you can't work your business. Let's face it, success requires sacrifice. And if you really want to be successful in any point in your life, you can't have it all. You're going to have to decide what is important and what you can miss. So that was important to me, to make sure that you go back. You need to find out what your leader's love languages some people need words of affirmation. Some people want gifts. Some people want quality time with you. Whatever it is, you need to kind of figure out what is their way to show them that you care, to show them that you do appreciate them. Some people, it's all different, and I think that to really stay in tune with your key people on your business, you've got to realize what it is that they need and what it is that they require just to feel significant, because let's face it, we all want to be significant.
And Dawn, I appreciate that you recognize that your team leaders that you left behind, would need to have that connection with you still, that you didn't want to just send emails, that you made those calls, that they could personally hear from you, that you really connected with them on a personal level, knowing their love language, as you said, and really connecting personally to them, because that distance could have been a real tough struggle. struggle, and the fact that then you made plans with them, that you went back once a quarter to see them, to see their teams, to do the meetings and the trainings, because again, as you said early on, it was still what was supporting your paycheck while you were getting your business up and running in the new location. And I think there are leaders on this call listening in who need to hear from someone who, you know, had a great business and had a good solid team and lots of leaders and then had to move away from them, how important it is to very much take care of those leaders that you, in essence, have left behind, and to be really as connected to them as you can, and to take the time and the expense to go back to plan those meetings and those trainings and such. And so I can see, Donna, how that helped to keep that business going while you were focusing on getting back to the basics, if you will, in your new location. And just getting those bookings and 60 shows in the first year certainly speaks volumes, and then you could turn your attention to sponsoring. So, Donna, great lessons learned, especially for those who are leaders who are finding themselves in your shoes and curled up in the fetal position on the bathroom floor crying because they're having to leave a great business, but yet remembering, well, as you said so true, that God has a plan.
Well, I think the one thing that, you know, you may not always understand what God's plan is, but I will tell you one of the biggest compliments I received that had been here a few years, and Chicago for our company has never been a very, it's never been a very developed market. And one of the leaders said to me, not on my team here, but when I came here, I kind of created a little bit of unity. It wasn't a huge group with the people that were already working in and with me. And she said to me, Donna, I have to tell you, you didn't want to move to Chicago, but God knew that we needed you here. So sometimes you have to be the leader. Give without expecting anything in return. And it's not that it comes back to you, but I just think you need to be inclusive versus exclusive in this business, and it does all come back to you.
Good word, Donna. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Susan, let me toss to you and get you into our conversation today. You relocated with your business from Stillwater, Minnesota, and you moved down to southern Indiana. So what were some of the lessons that you learned that helped you to make a successful transition in your business?
Well, one of the things that I did prior to moving was I really prepared before the move. And so some of the things that I would recommend that people would consider doing before they move is to take a look at your best hosts and your best customers. And certainly we don't want to sponsor all of our business away, but we do want to have someone carry on our business legacy from where we were living. And I knew that some of my hosts and customers that were very familiar with Party Light products and used them in their home and businesses and offices, that they would be perfect for servicing some of those friends and family that I had been servicing. So that's what I did, first of all, was I went out to sponsor some of my best hosts and customers. And the only thing that I would say as a lesson learned, you want to make sure that they really do want to do the business, that they really will then service their friends and family and host parties and, you know, carry on your business legacy that you worked so hard to build.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah. The other thing that I did, and I did this periodically even before the move, but certainly with a move it became even more important, was to run a big moving sale where I invited all of my hosts and customers and their guests to come to my home, and it was a great way for me to empty my candle closet and have a great sample sale of things that had been retired or extra wax that I had that, you know, I really didn't want to move 13 hours away and pack it up, so I felt like I could, you know, offer that to them as a thank you for them being such great supporters in my business. And the other thing I did at that time, too, is I had incentives for them to book with me so that when I returned 3 months later, I had parties scheduled. Mm. Now, one of the lessons learned is when you go back to visit where you moved from, you may only be there, you know, for 3 to 5, maybe 7 days, and so you don't want to have a party every night.
Right.
You know, so what I learned was to either to take other people with me to help dovetail some of that business out, or to try to condense it into one party where you could, you know, rent a hotel room and have a hall party where you invite those hosts and their guests to come, and so you kind of get your business done all in one evening or one afternoon.
That is smart, very smart, because you had a big business. And, again, those who are listening in may be thinking, well, I've got a big business, and I'll be returning on occasion. And that certainly not everybody returns to where they, you know, move from. But for those who do, Susan, you're right. You know, they could, you know, rent a small room in a hotel or whatnot that's, you know, would not be expensive, or a friend who lives there still who has a nice big house, and just do a multi-hostess event or multi-host event or just a big open house when you return every once in a while. Sounds like that was a great way for you to keep that business going.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Donna alluded to the fact that you really have to prepare your mind, and that was the other thing that I wanted to recommend today, is to really have a mindset of moving. You know, first of all, when you get to your new location, to really get your business in order. And also, like Donna said, I was definitely wanting to get my family rooted and settled in as well. But this is my business. It pays the mortgage, the car payment, and everything else. So I knew I had to keep my business up and running and not have too much downtime. So you want to, I got my kit ready for action. I, you know, had it packed and put in a place that was easy to get in and out into the car, and my office ready for action. It was one of the first things I set up was my office. And then also to have a mobile office. So for those of you that do plan to return to where you moved from, that you have some kind of a mobile office system that's easy to just pack up and take with you. That's the beauty of the business today. You know, we don't have a lot of filing cabinets full of things. It's a phone and a laptop or an iPad, and, you know, pretty much that's what you need to run your business now and your contacts.
That's right. If you've got all your files in there, then you've got a mobile office, and you get your planner, and you're ready to go. That's
exactly.
Very good. Very good reminders. Love that. And you said that mindset, as Donna had mentioned, Jen, too. I mean, that's just, you have to mentally, after you, and I love Donna's honesty, because I have moved, and I know this fetal position on the bathroom floor. After that moment is over, or that day, or however long it is, then you have to mentally say, okay, we're going, and you've got to mentally get there. So thank you, Susan, for putting that so well. How about with regard to your team? With regard to preparing?
Well, definitely with the team. I really want to emphasize, you cannot underestimate the emotional setback that could happen when you move from your team. You know, like Donna and Jen both said, this is a relationship-type business, and they're probably one of their the things that people appreciate the most is the relationship with their upline leader and the leader with their downline team. So, really don't underestimate your presence. And I also planned to go back monthly. At first I went back quarterly, and now I go back monthly. And even though that's kind of up for, you know, discussion from time to time as to how we'll do our monthly trainings, or maybe even plan to go back whenever there's a new product launch and pull the team back together. You know, sometimes I'll go back and I will do visit different smaller unit events where the leader or a couple leaders are getting together, and I'll be the guest at one of their unit events. So it doesn't always require renting out a big hotel room and all that. I also support my team in several other ways. I have monthly teleconferences. I have an online meeting channel that I do with the team, so we can we do weekly online opportunity events. Phone bites for communication. We have our own Facebook group page, so that really helps us all feel very connected, because we're on there chatting, you know, daily almost about something, a tip or some recognition or looking for something or, you know, sharing some kind of a inspiration. So that too has been instrumental in keeping us connected and feeling like we're all kind of in the same place, but we're not.
I love that, Susan. I love, and again, Donna had mentioned this, to not you know, abuse that social media and only, you know, kind of speak to people through, you know, such long distance channels, but to really connect. And I love how you do that, Susan, how you use all of the different mediums to be able to reach out and connect with them, from the teleconferences to the online meetings to, you know, the Facebook group pages, Skype. I mean, we have such great technology that keeps us, you know, face to face with people, even though we're a long distance. And such a good reminder, do not underestimate the power and the value of your presence, you know, with your people. So a good word for those who are moving and have a team that they're leaving behind. So what did you find when you relocated, and what would be your advice in getting started there?
Well, I think I mentioned before, like Donna said, I wanted to get my family rooted, but then I realized how important it was, and I also give recommendations to my team when they are relocating to build and sponsor and book right away in your new location. You know, get those roots into those new locations so that it will grow, especially the sponsoring. I think that's really key, because that's where you're able to, you know, really to build and to have those daily connections. Let's face it, we don't talk to our hosts every day, but we typically will talk to some of our teammates nearly every day. Don't be afraid to go into your community and ask for some support. You know, small businesses are looking for ways to grow their business, just like we are in the direct selling business. So you can go into, for example, with our product, we have a line of gourmet foods that is called Two Sisters Gourmet. So we have found going into some small wine shops that we can say, hey, you know, I'm a consultant with Party Light here in your community. I'm looking to promote my business, and maybe we can work together and support each other. And so then you can maybe set up something in their store and give away things to their customers that would be of value to their customers, samples or whatever. And then, again, you're meeting new customers too. And I think Jen talked about the importance of getting involved in the exposure events. That too is something that I would say would be very relevant. And there's so many. It doesn't matter what community you're in. Mm-hmm. There are people doing exposure events. Anyone that I'm like Don, anyone I write a check to or spend money with, I feel like they should be, you know, doing business with me too. So I definitely agree with that, not to be afraid to ask for that support. If you don't take your business seriously, like she said, no one else will either. And hand out those business cards, and if you can, sample your products, hand out samples. And just in closing, I would say just to give it time and pretend you're new again. Get into those new shoes and think about what did you have to do to get your business up and running, and duplicate some of those things that worked.
Oh, perfect. Perfect way to summarize, you know, what the best advice is pretend like you're new again. Even if you've had years and years in the business, you know, you need to start over. And, I mean, Donna said this, Jen said this, and it's just so important to remember it is starting over. You have the valuable experience behind you, though, so that confidence goes with you. Take it with you. Pack it with you. But remember those basic things, that back to the basics as you're meeting people and introducing yourself to people. You know how to book parties, so you go with that confidence and you just think, okay, starting over, back to the basics, but you've got experience under your belt, and that's kind of the plus to that. These have been such incredibly valuable lessons that you guys have shared so willingly today. So huge thank yous to Jen Goodrich and Donna Marone and Susan Giebler for your generosity in sharing your experiences so that others can be better prepared when the moving van pulls up to their doorstep. You know, I encourage our listeners to design an action plan of 3 or 4 steps to take, even yet today, as you're listening, to get started on your plans. You may be listening in because you are relocating, and these are specific ideas that you needed to hear. But maybe just out of curiosity, you're listening in, and you're not planning a relocation, but I know that you heard some ideas today on this podcast that will help you even where you are in your business, so that as you're taking steps, you can see the results that you desire. You know, it's been said that the woodcutter who stops to sharpen his axe cuts more wood. And thank you for stopping by our Lessons from Leaders conversation today to sharpen your axe with these important ideas. And be sure to check back right here for future conversation podcasts with more direct sales experts. Keep spiritofsuccess.com as one of your favorites that you jump in and listen to on a regular basis. And if you're looking for ways to see significant results in your business, especially if you are in leadership, be sure to connect with me about our leadership coaching sessions. Now is the perfect time for us to partner together to help you reach the promotion goals that you are seeking or to solve the leadership challenges that you have been facing. thing. Leadership coaching has never been more popular or nor more timely nor more successful. So please connect with me. My email is beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Well, now that you have your axe all sharpened, it's time for you to start chopping wood. So until our next conversation, this is Beth Jones Shaw. Thank you.